In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Kicking off hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show right now. It is a Monday. I want to welcome a little later in the program, be welcoming on Rodney Orr. Actually, that comes up in, about 10 minutes or so. Rodney, good guest we've had on before that we're bringing back on today. We're going to be talking Alabama football with him, and then also Brent Hubbs is going to join us in the bottom of the hour to talk a little UT football and some of the recent changes that Jeremy Pruitt has made there and the reassignments, really. With the Tennessee program. So, again, Alabama coming up in about 10 minutes, bottom of the hour, Tennessee. Right now, let's get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, UT hires Raiders DC. That would be Derek Ansley, who was actually coaching secondary with Oakland. And he will be the new defensive coordinator at the University of Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt has hired Derek Ansley, the former secondary coach at Alabama, who worked under Pruitt while he was the DC for Nick Saban. He goes off to the NFL for a couple of years. He is back now, not as a position coach. He has actually upped his stock a little bit. He's the defensive coordinator. It requires a lot of shuffling. There's a lot of moving parts here. As far as Derek Ansley is concerned, three-year contract, guaranteed $1 million annually. He's joining a coaching staff that, remember, about a month ago, Pruitt was able to get Jim Chaney from the University of Georgia to be the OC. He's getting $1.5 million each of the next 2 years. He'll get $1.7 million in 2021. Kevin Shearer, who was by title the DC last year, he remains on the staff. He's going to coach special teams and inside linebackers. They did a lot of shuffling around on offense, getting Chris Winkie back working with the quarterbacks. That's a good thing. And then we finally have a landing spot for T. Martin. That will actually be receivers. So there have been a lot of names being added, but similar to like what we didn't get from Nick Saban for the longest time or Kirby Smart for the longest time, we saw names being added to the pool. But, okay, you have 13 assistant coaches, Nick, who are the 10 on field. And so we got that announcement over the weekend as well. And of the 10 coaches that actually made the cut, seven of them will be new to the Alabama staff this year. And so that's what Nick Saban's got. It's just a really difficult situation, even for somebody as great at that part of his job as Nick Saban is. Jeremy Pruitt without nearly the experience, but he's pulled it off this time. This was his first offseason where he began the offseason as the Tennessee head coach, and the full year for recruiting, and it was aces. And then the work that he's done with the coaching staff. And again, I don't know Derek Ansley. I don't know what kind of DC he's going to be. I think Jeremy Pruitt probably is going to be as much the defensive coordinator as Ansley or anybody else as Shearer was last year. I mean, Pruitt called the plays, for gosh sakes. So we will see how that relationship goes forward. But remember that there's a little bit of a head start that Ansley will have in that he's already coached not just with, they were both assistants. No, he coached for. Pruitt was the DC, and that's a big deal. Headline, Southern Miss hiring offensive coordinator from Arkansas State. I'll give you his name, but it's not Art Briles, if that's what you are wondering about. This is a guy that I actually know, and I'll call him a close personal friend. After the fiasco of Art Briles not getting the job, Golden Eagles head coach Jay Hobson has decided to go with about the most uncontroversial pick he could, because I don't think people are going to know this kid. Oh, kid. Now, he was a kid when I actually coached against him. Buster Faulkner. He spent the past three seasons as OC at Arkansas State. Prior to that, he was working for Rick Stockstill up at Middle Tennessee State. And again, he's a kid that... Kid. I need to stop calling him. He's a grown man now. He's got a wife and children. He's a guy that way back in the day when he was actually a high school quarterback, I was coaching defensive line. Another team that we played him every year. So I've known of Buster Faulkner and then gotten to know him personally over the last several years. He's a really, really good coach. Very aggressive. In fact, when he was at Murray State, if you go back now, this is an 8-year stint for him. And my prediction, this is just a stopover in Hattiesburg. An 8-year ascent from Murray State to Middle Tennessee to Arkansas State to now Southern Miss. You put up yards and points at Southern Miss, you're going to be a head coach somewhere of that ilk. Like somewhere like around Conference USA where folks say, who's that guy dialing up the offense in Hattiesburg? Man, I hate playing them every year. You give 2 or 3 years like this, and it's where a program like Marshall, if Doc Holliday moves on for some reason, or ECU or what, something, they're actually in the AAC, somebody's of that ilk is going to call, because I'm telling you, and I'm not you know, biased based on what I know about Buster, but that's a really a good, aggressive young coach. Offensive-minded, and that's what we just talked about in hour one. That's what everybody's after these days, because you get to save a little bit on the coaching staff salaries if you hire an offensive-minded head coach. So that's Buster Faulkner, and he's got his landing spot in Hattiesburg. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue with a college football conversation next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, and I know how important exercise is.
It's essential, it's essential.
With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids stay active and play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids, healthy kids.
But what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org/play60, because great things happen when we live united.
Donate, donate.
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course, yes, of course.
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
One of the kicks in the pants for any man or woman who is at the top of whatever industry, you know, they work in, is that when you spend a little gold, when you show some greatness, you get about 12 seconds of, oh, and then it immediately turns to, well, no, that's what it's supposed to be every time. Nick Saban, we have gotten so used to him watching as assistants leave to go be coordinators, coordinators go leave to be head coaches, or other members of his staff maybe need a little refining, like Derek Ansley, a couple of years in the league. What I think is happening with Tosh Lapoy, hey, Tosh, why don't you go coach in the NFL for a couple of years? Just because Nick Saban somehow like reaches into the abyss and comes up with six A-plus assistant coaches every year, we think, oh, well, it's not a big deal. It's easy for him to do. No, it's not. It hasn't been easy any of the times that he's gotten it right. And he has hit the bullseye with Brian Daboll. He hit the bullseye with Lane Kiffin. He hit the bullseye with so many of these hirings, and he has to do it over and over and over. And we just think, well, because he does it so well, that it must be easy. It ain't. Well, he's now announced, or Alabama has, their official 10-man coaching staff. Remember, they had either 12 or 13. We knew Coach Cool was going to be out. And so it is official, and you have your new coordinators. We knew it was going to be Steve Sarkisian. Pete Golding is the DC, who, again, young rising superstar, which means he'll get them this year and maybe next, and then he's off for wherever his head coaching debut will be. I want to welcome on a guy we had on for the first time a couple of weeks back. Tremendous website, tighterinsider.com, and a man who, when it comes to Alabama football, he certainly knows that it is Rodney Orr. Rodney, welcome back, brother. How you doing today?
Hey, Chuck. Appreciate you having me. Doing great.
All right. Now, let's just enjoy Pete Golding while he's there and not rue, okay, you know, 2 years when he leaves. Give me the general impression about Pete Golding, because everybody I talk to about him, they say a version of the same thing. Young superstar. He's not going to be there very long.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think when he was originally hired back in December of 2017, you know, the chatter was he's a guy that Nick Saban thinks can be the next Kirby Smart, next Jeremy Pruitt type guy, a guy that as he develops, going to be a tremendous, not only defensive coordinator, but eventually possibly a head coach. Now, let's look back at him quickly at his career at UT San Antonio as a defensive coordinator. His first year there, they were 101 in the country in total defense. Within 2 years, he had them as a top five defense. Great young mind, and I think last year was a great opportunity for him to get his feet wet to prepare him to be the defensive coordinator here.
There's a guy that was added to the staff as well that I don't think has gotten nearly enough attention. I think Charles Kelly is an outstanding coach, and he's aggressive as all get out. I love that about him as well, and he pulls his weight, you know, as a recruiter. Jimbo doesn't have you on staff if you don't. But it's almost like an afterthought. Oh, yeah, and Charles Kelly's on the staff. I'm like, no, this is a guy that has been a DC for a national championship team. I got no quarrel with Charles Kelly. Why do you think people aren't as excited as maybe they should be?
Well, you know, I don't really know. I guess it's maybe a couple of games where he was the defense coordinator at Florida State. I think didn't they give up 63 to Louisville one time?
Yeah.
Sometimes that becomes a stigma. But think about this, too. Think about the job that Kevin Steele has done at Auburn. A lot of people thought when he gave up 70 points as the defense coordinator,
yeah, the Orange Bowl,
that he was a joke. And he has done a fantastic job there at Auburn, no question about that. And I think that's probably something that Kelly, that a couple of games where they gave up a lot of points. But I will say this. Here's what I really like about Charles Kelly, all the things you said. But, two, even though he hasn't coached for Nick Saban, he has coached for Jeremy Pruitt. So he has a feel. He has an understanding of the Nick Saban system. He was with Pruitt, of course. When Pruitt was the defense coordinator 2013 at FSU when they won the national championship. And also last year at Tennessee, he was with Pruitt, obviously. So I think all of that familiarity will help him here. Well, certainly, that was one of the things, Chuck, that I thought this defense missed last year. They did not have the continuity and the familiarity that you saw from Kirby Smart to Jeremy Pruitt And then all of a sudden, Tosh Lapoy, who really wasn't ready for that job.
Wrapping up with Rodney Orr again, TiderInsider.com, tremendous website. If you're a Tide fan or anybody who plays them game week, make sure you're getting the latest Alabama news there, TiderInsider.com. I want to ask you about Brian Baker, but I don't think I can without asking you about Coach Cool. What I know about him is he's got an earned reputation, I believe, as maybe the best technical coach that you're going to find anywhere in America. But I also know that he's no longer on the on-field staff. Why was he removed?
Well, I think, you know, you're right that he has done a great job of taking a lot of players when he was at Missouri and other places, Miami, wherever it may have been, taking players that maybe weren't the most highly recruited players and developing them into great college players and eventually NFL picks and so forth. And, you know, last year, to be honest with you, Chuck, I thought there was some a lack of discipline up front among some of the players. You know, there was talk that some of the defensive linemen actually skipped out on some of the meetings there with the coach meeting with Coach Cool at times. And, you know, they lacked some discipline. If you remember the Orange Bowl, this doesn't happen under Nick Saban. When you have a player running on the middle of the field after a sack, taking his helmet off, and, you know, you've made a big play and then you've committed a penalty by doing that. That's undisciplined. And, who do you blame that on? But I just say the feeling was there was a lot of undiscipline in that defensive line group.
Let's go on field a little bit. Walk me through the depth chart at quarterback, because it's almost the same question I've got for Kirby after, Justin Fields left with Jalen Hurts making a great decision for him. I guess it has to be Mac Jones maybe, but, you know, Tua, more than a couple of times, Tua's either had a problem with the brace or he's been just flat out injured and had to leave the field. Go through the two and the three, how you project it going into spring practice.
Yeah, well, Mac Jones looked really good last spring, but then he got into the season. When he got his opportunities, I thought he looked a little overwhelmed, which isn't necessarily unusual, I guess, for a redshirt freshman playing his first season, but I think he looked a little overwhelmed. He's got some tools. We'll have to see how he does this spring. But, obviously they're bringing in two guys, Talia Tagovailoa, to his younger brother, and then Paul Tyson, both from here in the state. And so who knows how it's going to pan. I mean, obviously you have to think Mac Jones has the edge with all the experience he's got. But then again, you do have a new offensive coordinator with Steve Sarkisian. So Talia Tagovailoa is a guy that people think can be really, really good. It may not be the ideal size, but Chuck, I know a lot of people think that he may not be as good as Tua, but he's pretty good.
Last thing for you, just give me your crystal ball about Najee this year, because, you know, Damian's gone, Josh Jacobs, who honestly, I think everybody kind of eventually came around by about the midway point of the season. I think he was the best running back on the roster. He's gone as well. That, it's rare at Alabama that all of the roadblocks kind of get it out of their way if you're a running back, but it looks like it's really set up for Najee to kind of explode this year, isn't it?
Well, that's a great question, Chuck, and to be brutally honest with you, this is your turn, Najee. I mean, you know, you've been calling for it. He wants the ball. He's been a little disappointed. I don't think there's any question about that. But this is his opportunity. I think they do have some other running backs. Brian Robinson might be the best running back on this team.
Wow. But I
do think that Najee's, this is going to be his opportunity to really be the bell cow. But I do think he'll split some carries with Brian Robinson and maybe even have a third back like they always do. He brings a little more versatility. Of course, you know, they have Trey Sanders, the number one back coming in.
And
he can do it.
Yeah, Jerome,
he can do a lot of things.
Jerome Ford saying, yeah, don't forget about me.
Yeah, Jerome Ford is very good, has great speed, game breaker, can catch the football, do a lot of things. So, again, I think they are going to split the carries and the time there at running back again.
All right, great stuff. Appreciate your time as always, Rodney. Thank you, man.
Chuck, appreciate it.
All right, Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com. I'm really excited to see Najee, and it's almost like he and Cam Akers for 100% different reasons. It's almost like with Cam Akers, I'm excited to see the 2019 season get underway to watch those two kids. They were the number one and two running backs in America coming out of high school. And, I mean, it was 15 minutes ago. They were both true freshmen. Remember Cam Akers, though, this is the weird thing. He's he's already had a much more productive career. Najee's had a better career. Cam Akers was a quarterback, an option quarterback coming out of Mississippi, and either he was one and Najee was two. Najee's California kid. It was either Akers and Najee or reverse, but they're really different kinds of backs. Cam Akers is that quick and gone. And Najee is more like, I'm going to leave a bruise on you. Like, oh, wait a minute, I am in the clear, but here's a shoulder, eat this. But neither one of them, it's all been fits and starts. And I'm talking productivity-wise, because with Cam, it's been an offensive line, and it's also sort of the presence of Jacquez Patrick, who everybody knew the minute Cam Akers showed up on campus, he's the best running back on this roster, but we've got some upperclassmen, and so we'll play that game. I didn't understand that in the least. Again, some of the nuances of playing running back, oh yeah, they don't really have them. Yeah, that it's run to daylight, that it's three back through the four hole. It is the most instinctive, and I'll say from a concept standpoint, not actually going out there and performing, because you still got to take the hits and got to run away from folks and catch the ball and not fumble and all of that. The 15 things that I have to have for my running back, you know what they all are. But from a concept-wise, it's the easiest thing in football to do, because it reverts all the way back to fourth grade when I don't even know what this game was called, but one guy would have the ball and like nine, everybody else try to tackle him. So it's just him trying to escape. That's what running back is. It's just now you're 20 and you're playing at Florida State or you're playing for Alabama, but those are the two running backs more than any other in America that when this season starts, it's going to be every single Saturday watching what those kids do with maybe their last time around.
This is an important announcement. If you're between 50 and 85 and worried about your loved ones, you can still get affordable life insurance for peace of mind.
My life insurance coverage is guaranteed, and I was not required to get a medical exam.
I had high blood pressure and diabetes, and I got my coverage with one telephone call. No exam necessary.
I'm a smoker, and I wanted to take care of my family. I called to get my life insurance and my affairs in order. I wanted to do the right thing.
Call Final Expense No Exam Insurance. Your rates are guaranteed and will never increase.
I called and learned that this insurance cannot be canceled, even if you get sick or gain weight.
And there are no restrictions on how my beneficiaries use the money when I'm gone.
Don't wait until it's too late. Call now and get peace of mind for you and your family. Call 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061. 877-477-6061.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. we volunteer at our community free health clinic. So we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Derek Ansley is going to be our defensive coordinator, and we'll coach the defensive backs, and he'll have all four guys. Kevin Scher is going to move from defensive coordinator to special teams coach and inside linebackers. You know, Kevin brings a very unique background in the fact that, kind of like me, he was a high school coach where you have to coach everything.
He's almost to the point where I don't need to tell you who that is. It's not Ed Orgeron. He's got the belt. And he always will. Steve Spurrier is one of them. You know, we get coaches, you don't really have to identify them. That's Jeremy Pruitt. And when he talked about being a high school coach, that's one thing he likes to go back to a little bit. In fact, he's got the one, 10 years ago I was coaching. 10 years ago I was teaching kindergarten. Now I'm a head coach in the SEC, so I think I get along with people pretty well. Jeremy Pruitt is his own man. He's his own – he's got his own angle on things. And to this point, it's funny, you're talking about like post 5-7 season. To this point, it's working. It really is. It didn't show up in the wins and losses last year, but it is working. Talking about hiring Derek Ansley, which was announced over the weekend. Terry Fair got fired, and Derek Ansley was brought in not only to coach in the secondary, but also coordinate the defense and then also help out recruiting. So, it's been a little bit of a fruit basket over there. Again, Kevin Scher staying on the staff, just coaching. I think he's inside linebackers and coaching special teams as well. And obviously changes all over the staff with either the actual personnel or who it is that they're coaching every day in practice. Want to head out right now, publisher of VolQuest.com, about the best site you're going to find for Tennessee information when it comes to football, basketball, recruiting, whatever it is. Want to welcome back Brent Hubbs. Brent, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing all right. Why is Derek Ansley the new Tennessee defensive coordinator?
Because I think that Jeremy Pruitt believes that's a upgrade to his defensive staff. That's a guy that he is very comfortable with. Derek was essentially a GA or a quality control guy underneath Coach Pruitt at Alabama. You know, Derek was here at Tennessee with Derek Dooley as a very young coach, kind of a green and growing coach, and went to Alabama and really blossomed into a good coach there and has been successful. And as Jeremy Pruitt said in his press conference on Friday, when I start a sentence, he can finish it. So I think there's great comfort there with Derek Ansley. And Jeremy likes a good recruiter. You know, Derek Ansley's done that. But I think this is more about the comfort level that Jeremy Pruitt has with Derek Ansley running this defense from a back end forward. If you look at Nick Saban, when he's been, you know, when he's handed the reins over to somebody, most of the time as defensive coordinator, the successful ones have been more back-end guys, guys who can marry the back to the front, not necessarily just front-end guys. I think that's why you see, you know, Nick Saban making a change this year and Taj Lapoy leaving, because you're bringing, you know, they like to have a secondary coach or a linebackers coach who knows the back end be their defensive coordinator, and that's what I think Jeremy Pruitt feels like is an upgrade for him.
Follow him on Twitter at Brent_Hubbs, publisher of VolQuest.com. Joining us right now, Brent Hubbs. You know, that there are a lot of different ways that defensive-minded head coaches choose to run their teams. My understanding consistently from everybody in Tuscaloosa is during the week, Saban's involved. But on game day, he gives you the keys if you're the defensive coordinator. You drive that thing. The other side of it, anybody who's a DC for Will Muschamp, well, Will Muschamp's the DC. What is the case with Jeremy Pruitt? I know he actually called the defensive plays last year, but Shearer was the DC. Who really runs it over there?
Well, last year it was Jeremy Pruitt. But as Jeremy Pruitt told me in August last year, if I want to call the offensive plays, I can call the offensive plays too. And I think that's the mindset a lot of times of a first-year coach. It's about establishing trust, and you know they're coming out of a world where they've handled things themselves as a coordinator, you know, and you're working towards that trust factor. And you know, I think one of the reasons we've seen Jeremy Pruitt make the staff changes he's made is he's improving that trust factor, because I think after doing this for a year as a head coach, he realizes he can't do it all. You know, he can't call the offense, run the special teams, you know, or assist in calling the offense, run the special teams, and call the defense on game day and work the officials and manage the entire game. And so I think you've seen, you know, Jim Chaney comes in as the offensive coordinator. Look, Jim Chaney's a veteran. I'm not telling – I mean, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to tell Jeremy Pruitt to get out of his meeting rooms because Jeremy Pruitt's in charge.
Yep.
But Jim Chaney doesn't need anybody to tell him how to put a game plan together. You know, and Jeremy Pruitt has trust in Jim Chaney because he understands the SEC. He's a veteran. Whereas Tyson Helton, there's such a learning curve to being an offensive coordinator for the first time, being a full-time play caller for the first time, and doing it in this defensive-minded conference. So I think that the upgrade, the change on offense, allows Jeremy Pruitt to step back from the offense because he's got a head coach on offense now. That's Jim Chaney. And then defensively, he'll still be heavily involved with Derek Ansley and putting a game plan together throughout the week. I think the question is going to be, will Jeremy Pruitt truly turn it over to Derek Ansley on Saturday, or will he have a harder time doing that? He never turned it over completely to Kevin Shearer. So does he really have enough trust in Derek Ansley that he's going to completely turn it over, or is he going to coach it like Will Muschamp and be that type of guy, or be like Kirby Smart? You know, I mean, everybody does it, you know, does it differently. And so it's going to be fascinating once we get to the fall to see if Derek Ansley's truly in charge and calling everything as a defensive coordinator, or if Jeremy Pruitt's still making a lot of calls.
Wrapping up with Brent Hubbs again, VolQuest.com. Help me with some addition here, a little math. I know in recruiting there were 10 early enrollees. There were, I think, 11 more kids that signed, so that's 21. There are two more kids listed as hard commits. Anthony Harris, a kid out of North Carolina, defensive back, and then another kid, a corner out of Myrtle Beach, Kenny Solomon. What is the latest on them?
Well, Anthony Harris never officially visited here. Coaches never went into his home. So Tennessee could blue shirt him if he gets his academics in order and they still want to take him. He did not sign with anybody on signing day. And so they could blue shirt him and count him forward and bring him in here in the summertime if he gets his academics in order. And then Kenny Solomon is a guy that they never announced because he did not sign a national letter. His plan is to come. He'll be here the summer. Academics are not an issue, but because of numbers, Tennessee's going to blue shirt him as well.
Oh, well, that kind of, I think it answers my next question, because I was going to ask you, you know, last year, Keller Chris, Madre London, they were active in the transfer market, which they should have been. Any possibility for activity, or have they already put 10 pounds in a 5-pound sack?
Well, I mean, with the way you can what I call pay it forward, swipe the credit card, if you're willing to take a scholarship away from your 2020 class, by blue shirting a guy or bringing in a grad transfer and counting him forward, you can certainly stay in that market. I think Tennessee will never close the door on the transfer market. I think, you know, if there's a guy out there that they feel like can be a real difference maker for them, could be a factor in winning and losing a game or two, then I think they would look at that. If there were an elite pass rusher that became available, I think Tennessee would explore that avenue. If a quarterback came available that they thought could really push Jerry Garantano and compete for the starting job, maybe they do that. But I don't think that they're going to be in the quarterback market, because I don't think there's anybody out there they like. And I think Jim Chaney likes, you know, Jerry Garantano. The question is there enough depth behind them? The hard part for coaches and grad transfers now is, on the surface, they all seem great. Oh, okay, we'll get this guy in. He's going to come in. He's going to make it, you know, help us and everything else. You get him for 12 games, guaranteed. Maybe 13 or 14, depending on if you're a playoff team. and he counts as one of your scholarship guys for the next year because you got to count him somewhere. So the question becomes then, is he worth it? For Tennessee, with a guy like Madre London and a guy like Keller Chris, was it worth not being able to sign two more kids this last, you know, earlier this month or back in December? Were those two worth not being able to sign two guys in this class? My guess is if you ask the coaches now, the answer would be no, because I think with them, Tennessee goes 5-7. Without them, I think Tennessee goes 5-7. So what's the value of it? Now, you go to Washington State, and obviously getting the quarterback they got was of extreme value for them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you've got to weigh those options. You've got to really decide, is this guy going to be a difference maker for me? And that's the thing. We've seen some of those guys who have gone in and made a huge impact on their team, but we've seen a lot more guys who go in and just kind of there. They're just kind of guys. And so that's a decision a coach has to make and try to figure out, can he really change my record to the point that it's worth giving up a scholarship in next year's class?
Last thing for you, and this is not about football. I mean, I want to think, you know, maybe it's fantasy world, but even like Georgia fans, Florida fans, whomever would get on board here. What's the latest with Trey Smith? Because this obviously goes well beyond football. I mean, from a football standpoint, he's the best kid on that team and has been since that Georgia Tech game his freshman year. But he's got obviously something way more serious than just football going on. What's the latest?
Well, he's continuing to do, you know, he's working out, doing some things like that, but he's continuing to be monitored by the doctors. He's seeing some specialists. He's not closed the door on playing football. I don't think anybody sees any realistic thoughts right now of him playing football this next season. Things could change, but I think the doctors have made it pretty clear that, hey, we need to go an extended period of time, you know, with no clots.
Yep.
And with managing the clots with our diet and not medication. Obviously, if he remains on the blood thinners, he's not going to play football. And so they want to go, and doctors are going to want to go a long period of time with him not being on the blood thinners and not having any issues with the clots. You know, they took him off the blood thinners back in the first part of the summer this past year, and he made it about 5 months before clots showed back up. I think they're going to want to go through a longer window of not having clots and no blood thinners before they're in a situation from a medical standpoint that they say, hey, let's go give football a try again. He's not closed the door on it. He would like to continue to play football, but he knows that this is going to require a lot of patience and some time, and he's going to obviously do what the doctors say because, as you mentioned, this is much more about life than it is about just playing football. So patience is the big word with Trey Smith right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the family history, his mama and all, it's just you don't screw around with it. But, you know, even because I always say, you know, I give the disclaimer that we are a college football show, so that's going to be the prism we look at everything. And I just think back to his first game as a true freshman, like everybody else is struggling, and I see this 18-year-old kid blocking the defensive tackle like 8 yards downfield. I was like, all right, he's better than everybody else. And that was kind of normal for him on a typical Saturday. So just best of wishes, best of luck to him, best wishes, absolutely. Appreciate you coming on today, man. Thanks for making time.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, wrap up on a Monday next.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.
The rare undefeated season, along with some amazing stats, is the Sweet Geico Halloween
Finally, the Lady Huskies of Connecticut rolled to a 40-0 record, outscoring their opponents by an average of more than 34 points per game and winning 8 by 50-plus points. The Huskies took things to the next level, winning every game by 10 points or more on their way to crushing previously undefeated Notre Dame in the national title game.
GEICO could assist you in saving lots of money on your car insurance. Go right now to geico.com for all the details.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in 5 states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannara.com.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show wrapping up on a Monday. Appreciate Rodney Orr coming on earlier this hour from TiderInsider.com. I actually heard him. He was on with our Montgomery affiliate down there with John and Barry, and just does a great job when it comes to Alabama football and all athletics. But Tider Insider, Rodney Orr, Brent Hubbs, again, just now talking UT way back in hour one, Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. Pretty good sampling of what we do going all around the SEC, ACC. We'll jump out nationally whenever Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh or Chip Kelly or whomever does something interesting enough, but you know what it is. It's all week. It's all year. It's all college football. Dan Matthews is going to be popping in here in just a couple of minutes. Right now, let's wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara & Associates.
Last night, there were two, I'll call them sports media stars, just counting their blessings. Have you watched any of the AAF, the Alliance of American Football? I have a long history with the Arena League, and I was always in, always loved it. But I know what it was. It was a not even really a minor league because it's not the same sport exactly. There were a lot of the same skills required, and you could make the jump from the Arena League to the NFL. Everybody knows Kurt Warner, but it was beyond that. Jay Feely. Jay Feely was an Arena League kicker. He turned it into like a 15-year career in the NFL. Aronde Gadsden. There was a lot of guys. but it's the approach on the media side. The AAF broadcasts are starting to take on the same tenor as the Arena League on Monday Night Football. And I think you have to say it that way because, as I recall, there was an exclamation point after that. That's really how they pitched it. When ABC / ESPN got the Arena League contract before the, I think it was the 2007 season, they started having an ESPN Monday Night Football game for the Arena League. And obviously they start play in March, so it would be March, April, May, and then the playoffs in June, and the season's over. So it would give ESPN some built-in programming every Monday night, and it let them at least trade off of the value of the Monday Night Football brand, which 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it still had some cachet. Now it doesn't. When ABC, ESPN got that contract, they immediately went to two of their biggest stars, Mike Greenberg and Mike Golic, and they told them they were going to do the games. Hey, y'all got the short straw. Go do these games, and here's the next part. Pretend you care. There was a Monday night game where the team I was working for was playing the Philadelphia Soul. That was Bon Jovi's team. And so it was the Monday night game. I'm checking into the hotel right there or near the arena on the Sunday afternoon. Right beside me, Mike Greenberg. He had a look on his face like he had just opened some really old back-of-the-refrigerator Tupperware. And I introduced myself. He had even less of a taste for me. He didn't want to be bothered with me, the Arena League, or anything else. He was clearly ticked to no end to be doing these minor league football games at the insistence of his employer, and it showed on the broadcast each week as well. Now, the NFL, this is not exactly the same. They've got a very clear and I believe, expanding interest in the AAF, and that's nothing but good. But right now, making NFL Network host do games they obviously put zero prep into and don't care one whit about, it's a really bad look for a network in the NFL Network. And I've said this before. You know Chili's and Applebee's? Sometimes Applebee's will do, but if you have a choice and you're after the exact same thing, Chili's does everything on that menu better. I've said anything that ESPN and the NFL Network both do, the NFL Network does it so much better than ESPN. That ain't the case with this game production. It looks like you've got some disinterested guys that are being forced to cover these games, and that's too bad because the AAF, I think, can actually grow some legs. That's my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates.
USC is a program, and by the way, too, just for clarification purposes, no disrespect to our good friends in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, you gotta say it. Yeah.
But you're not USC. Yeah. I'm sorry. But when you have the prestige of a program like the Trojans do, you can initialize yourself. Not you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now, if you want to get into the where's the real Death Valley, all right, that see, that's something.
Yeah, we can have that. Yeah, we can have that discussion.
Somebody will draw down over that. So, but as far as who the real USC is, I think most people agree.
All right, so Clay Helton right now, not a lot of faith in Southern California in what he is doing on Figueroa Avenue because they are coming off probably one of their worst recruiting performances that they've had in recent memory. Just last year, they were fourth in the country, according to 24/7. This most recent recruiting cycle, Chuck, 20th. If I'm USC, I can't be 20th. And if I'm Lynn Swann and I am the alumni base and everybody else, I'm saying 20th.
Unacceptable.
Absolutely. You go out, you take one step off the campus, and you're probably running into 4- and 5-star talent right there, right around the campus at USC.
Some of them are quarterbacks.
And not only that, but also, too, look at the program, what they had been under Pete Carroll and even under Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin. They were still getting good players.
It's like Florida with Boom and Zook. They were still recruiting at elite levels. They just weren't cashing
and
in
it
on
even
it.
With Boom, it showed with Jim McElwain, where people said, well, you know, how are we going to turn away from this guy? You already took him to 2 straight SEC title games. Well, you say, well, those were somebody else's guys. But in this case right now, there's a good buddy of me and yours that has a saying, and he's a big gambling guy, and he says, you fold the hand, you know you can't win. And that's what really puzzles me right now with USC and with Lynn Swann is you know that you're not going to win with this hand. Now, I get it. The Pac-12 is down, and it's not necessarily a stretch to believe, okay, the turnaround in this conference is not necessarily so far-fetched because Stanford is not what Stanford has been in the past few years. Washington, it looks like they're probably going to take a step back. UCLA, our chief rival across town, they're not even recruiting well. So we don't need to necessarily worry about them. So that right there could be the reason why Lynn Swann is saying, no real rush here. We'll go 6-5, or 7-5. We'll go 8-4, something like that this year. Then we can make our decision to move on. And, of course, everybody believes they know who the successor is there in Southern California. And a lot of people believe that Urban Meyer would say, oh, hey, all of a sudden my health is good. That's me going to be able to come in now and being able to coach. But that's the thing. USC is one of those programs. We've got the list on the side of the refrigerator, Chuck. USC, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida, LSU, Alabama, Texas. These programs right here, you should never be in a position where you are 20th in the country recruiting, especially when you are in an area of the country like the Trojans are.
Yeah, I don't know if... And I'm not going to say when. I don't know if we'll see Urban. I think that there is a particular brand of distaste in his mouth, and especially with his wife right now regarding, you know, their version of how things ended and the lack of appreciation. And, again, especially from Shelly's standpoint of she's feeling particularly put upon about how my man was attacked and all he did was and then just list a bunch of great things. Leaving out any of the transgressions or missteps. When it affects your family at that level, and that's becoming more and more common, I'll say. We got the story, and I heard it off the record first, but I've heard it from five different people on the record now, whether it was Russ Mitchell or Chris Landry, about Steve Ensminger. Hey, you're a position coach. Want to be the offensive coordinator at your alma mater? At LSU, where he's been, he loves it there. Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about this because I don't want what I think it could do to my family. So I'm not sure about Urban and if he's gonna surface again. I know he's teaching that class about ethics and character and integrity and such, and I hope that it's a compelling lesson that he gives. Maybe he's using an overhead, maybe a slideshow. All right, wraps it up on a Monday. I'm going to get out of here before I say something. For Dan, for Kevin, for everybody working with the broadcast, David and Heather and Carter and Michael, the whole cast of tens, thank you for coming in today and doing a quality job. Be back tomorrow with more of it on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Debt reduction depends on creditors' balances and payments, client testimonials, or dramatizations.
If you owe $10,000 in credit card debt and your minimum payments siphon away your paycheck each month, you can get debt-free in less time than you think.
I've paid $800 a month for the past 3 years and haven't changed the balance on my credit card.
Get Debt-Free Now has a program to reduce your debt, stop the harassing phone calls, avoid financial ruin, and settle for less than you owe.
I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
You're pre-approved for our special hardship program if you owe $10,000 or more. Call Get Debt Free Now to resolve your debt once and for all.
My family no longer has 20 years of payments ahead of us at 20% interest.
There's no fees until you see results. Make one monthly program payment and free up your cash.
Call 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933. 800-834-2933.
Results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wahl & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wahl has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wahl, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again. We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wahl has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation.
800-783-1759. That's 800-783-1759. 800-783-1759.